Good. Well, what a gift it has been to gather this morning on this Sunday. Every Sunday we celebrate resurrection as a church family. Your presence matters much, whether it's in person or online today or later in the week at metmeno.org/sermons. And so you can watch the entire worship service on that, just in case you didn't know. So that's on our website. You are a gift to this body, and may the Lord's grace and peace be with each one of you this morning, and may our worship together be that which your thirsts, what your soul thirsts for. We've been in the summer series called Seeking God Together, and it's been a fun one because we get to do things like that. We've spent time talking about and encouraging one another with some of the spiritual practices we are invited to do as followers of Jesus. The first week, we talked about prayer. The second week, we looked at the importance and the invitation to honor God in and through our bodies. Last week, we looked at marveling at our Creator, that is, in worship and praise, and agreeing with the psalmist of 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember last week when we had all of Psalm 104 stretched out in front of us. Today we are saying thanks, giving thanks. What does a spirit of gratitude mean for our lives as people committed to seeking Jesus together? But before I get to the sermon, I had a crazy busy week all week long, and I just kind of got behind on some things, and I usually like to write thank you notes to people for people in the church and so on, and I didn't get to it. So would it be okay if I wrote out some thank you notes today before we get to the rest of the sermon? Would that be okay? Write some thank you notes before we get to the sermon? And so maybe, Rick, I'm not sure if we have music for this, but I wanted to give thanks to a couple people here. So thank you, ushers, for handing me a bulletin to remind me of how each week's worship service goes, in the off chance that I've forgotten how it always goes at Metamora Mennonite Church. Thank you. You know, it's just good to have the space to be able to do this, so thank you for allowing for it. So thank you, passing the peace time during our service. I think we have music. Next slide. Thank you, passing of the peace time during our service. The opportunity of drying my sweaty palms and interacting with strangers and forgetting their names even before I sit down. Signed, all the introverts in our church. All right, so thank you. Thank you, Metamora worship team, for never ending the service at the same time, so I never know when to make my lunch plans. Yes, that worship team works hard. All right, so just a couple more. It says, thank you, morning announcements, for extending our service even longer than after another lengthy message from Pastor Eric. Oh, wait, that's me. Okay, that's weird. Okay. Thank you, Metamora Mennonite parking lot, for not having any parking lines, making parking a free-for-all adventure each and every Sunday morning. Isn't that lovely? And I just have one more. Thank you, Ron Bachman, for always sitting in the back row, not allowing anyone to have a quick escape after the service is over. Thank you. Let's hear it for Ron. So thank you for letting me catch up a bit on some of the work of the week here. So our series together, Seeking God Together, today we have a focus and with our story regarding giving thanks, being thankful, and living a life of gratitude. Meister Eckhart, German philosopher and theologian, once wrote, "If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it would be enough." So I ask the question then this morning, how about you? Do you have a posture of gratitude? What does this look like for you in your life? How are you or are you not potentially in this habit of giving thanks and having a posture of gratitude? With our story, we'll just jump in at this point. Now on his way to Jerusalem, and we'll pause here. This story is found only in Luke, and it begins a new section of his gospel text. And in the Greek, it could be literally translated, "And it happened." Not sure why that happened. "And it happened in the walking to Jerusalem." In the walking to Jerusalem. Six chapters before our passage this morning. Six chapters before, Jesus comes off the Mount of Transfiguration, and it says that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. He set his face towards Jerusalem. And what is awaiting Jesus in Jerusalem? Well, death. Also, separation. Death, separation, taking on the cross. Well, what else is awaiting Jesus in Jerusalem? Well, 3 days later, resurrection and new life. And in this story that we have this morning of the 10 lepers being healed, we have 10 lepers experiencing what? Death. Death through separation, standing at a distance. And in our story, they will then experience what? They will also experience new life. Resurrection in God and with and in their lives. As we continue on in the story, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And so we pause here again and we just note that three places have already been talked about or mentioned: Jerusalem, Samaria, and Galilee. And Jerusalem is mentioned. Why? Because I've already mentioned Jesus and his friends are heading to Jerusalem on purpose and with intention. Galilee is a place where Jesus' mission began, and Samaria, a land where most Jews avoided at all cost while walking south from Galilee to Jerusalem, on the boundary, on the border. Here, I believe that we have not only a literal border, but actually a symbolic one as well. Jesus was and is found often on the boundaries. This is true in many ways. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it this way: Jesus meets us both on the boundary of our lives and also the center. So we have this boundary. It's both, I think, an ethnic prejudice between Galileans and Samaritans, because Samaritans were half-breeds before they intermarried with the Assyrians. And we have a religious prejudice here as well. And the Samaritans were heretics who would not bend their knee in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is meeting these 10 lepers along this boundary. And when anyone has a real encounter with Jesus, healing and restoration is often the result. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." How'd I do with that reading? "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I think that's closer. I won't do it again. In case anyone was sleeping. Little ones included. But a closer look at this, okay, we'll go back to the 10 lepers. In the Greek, the order is 10 men, 10 lepers. And there's one translation that says it this way. So when I prepare for a sermon, I often like to consult different translations of the same verse. And in one translation, as he entered the village, it says 10 lepers stood at a distance. Another translation says this: as he was going into a village, two men who had leprosy met him. Just the difference in those two verses and how they're translated. So in the Greek, or in that first one, what we learn first about these men is that they are lepers. That's the first translation. In the second translation, they are men who who have leprosy. This causes me to wonder how often I identify people by something other than their humanity. Who are the lepers and the unclean in our society today? Those on the boundaries, those on the margins, those excluded. Are they homeless? Or are they humans who don't have a home? Are they illegals or persons without documentation? Are they hungry or humans who hunger? Are they democratic or are they humans who side with a democratic platform? Same for Republicans. Are they Republicans or are they humans, people who side with a Republican platform? In our story, there are perhaps multiple levels of healing that takes place, not just physical. And I think that one of the healings is the restoration of their human identity. They are no longer lepers, but they are human. Also of note, that this leper colony includes a Samaritan. It includes a Samaritan. Which, interestingly to me, that makes this leper colony an inclusive one. Why? Well, because common suffering has a tend to unite. Common suffering unites. Another noticing for me is that it's a loud voice of the collective community. There is a loud voice that cries out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." You know, the volume went up. And this is the only time that this Greek word is translated as pity. Most often it's translated as mercy. Mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That is to be compassionate by word or deed, by divine grace. So what kind of pity, what kind of mercy did they seek? I mean, what was their deepest desire? In this plea for mercy, were they seeking to be fully healed? Perhaps. Were they seeking momentary relief for their present situation? Perhaps some food. Perhaps new clothing. Maybe it's financial resources to be shared with the community. Maybe the mercy they were seeking was relationship. Someone to talk to. Someone to acknowledge their existence as humans. So maybe they were asking for complete healing. We don't know, but we do know they asked for mercy. That's clear. They asked for mercy, we know. In whatever form that may take, in whatever form that Jesus might grant that request. Moving on, when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now, why would this be? Well, the priest could then certify whether or not a person has leprosy or not, or has been healed. And if there was physical healing, the human being would then be reintegrated, restored back into society. This would bring about an even deeper healing, a healing that's much deeper than just skin deep. Of note is the moment in time of their healing. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Okay? The Greek word here that we get in English is catharsis. It means emotional release, emotional purification, psychological purging of complexes. If they were cleansed before they go to the priest, there would be no confusion as to the source of their healing. No confusion as to the source of their healing. So these lepers turn towards the priest. They're heading a direction, which is as they turn towards the priest, they turn away from Jesus. They are experiencing freedom from what was just a moment ago. Just imagine how excited they must have been. Can you just picture yourself on the scene? Right? I thought the Reader's Theater did a pretty good job celebrating. Okay? All right? I think even maybe more so than that, living with leprosy for however long they've had it. Can you just imagine the party that went down? Can you? Do you hear it? The shouts of God, have mercy on us, have pity on us, replaced with other loud shouts of, oh my word, look at this. Like, we're changed. We're healed. Right? You just have to imagine that. Now, Jesus could have just waved his hand and said, you are healed. Right? Didn't have to use his hand. He could just say, you are healed. Right? He could just, you are healed. It's just interesting to me that Jesus doesn't do it for these 10 lepers in that fashion. But Jesus invites them to go and to show. Go and show yourself to the priest. Well, what is this? This is action. This is action. Not just passive recipients, but this is action. I find it curious that Jesus invites them into and to participate in their own healing by being obedient to Christ at his request. Again, just imagine the celebration, the jubilee, the party, you know, as they're turning away and they're going towards and their physical bodies begin to transform. Did they keep the same pace? Like, or do you think the pace quickened as they went towards the priest, right? Like, oh, and then it's just, they're a dead sprint now. Maybe, I don't know, just imagining these things. And then our text says one of them. When he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. I just don't think that's by accident. It's a loud voice. There's a loud voice of crying out. There's a loud voice praising God in that same loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to them, rise, go, your faith has made you well. So, one of the 10 returns to Jesus. One of the 10 returns to the source of his healing. This to me seems about the right percentage for me. I don't know about you, but when God is at work in my life, I am probably about 10% of the time. 10% of the time, that's my return rate. Partly due to maybe my own excitement, like the lepers, or my busyness, or my unaware that God is even moving in my life or in the lives around me, 10%, because I can fall asleep and not be aware of what God is doing. Right? Anyone else? Just me? Okay. I might even be like 5%. How often? What is my posture of gratitude? Like the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, Jesus reveals that this person is a Samaritan late in the story, a shocking end to the discourse, to be sure. Jesus once again lifts up a positive example of a foreigner, subverting any racial, cultural, spiritual stereotypes of the day. We'll end here. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you sozo, not so-so. Not just so, but sozo. This is the word that's translated well, also often translated salvation. Ann Voskamp, in her book, 1,000 Gifts, giving thanks, that is, giving thanks in everything, prepares the way that God might show his fullness, his fullest salvation in Christ, fullest salvation, sozo, in Christ. For those King James enthusiasts among us, it says it this way, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Which sort of carries on maybe even a weightier reality. Your faith has made you whole. You could say it this way, 10 were healed, 1 experienced wholeness. So this morning, we, along with the one, are invited. That if we want more than just healing and desire wholeness, we are invited to turn around and to go in the opposite direction of the priests. 9 lepers will settle for the priest saying, "You are clean." That's fine. It's still good to be healed, isn't it? Still a good thing to not have leprosy anymore. That's still a good thing. But the one who returns in praise and thanks will hear the human one say, "Your faith has made you whole." So may we not see this as a rebuke from Jesus. Okay, so where are the other 9? My wife, Miley, just has a way of always reminding me, "Eric, it's not what you say, it's how you say it." Anyone else hear that? Not from Miley, but from anyone else in your life, right? "Eric, it's not what you say, it's how you say it." Okay? This is, so just as we look at this story, how is Jesus saying this? Where is it an honest question? Jesus is like, where is the other 9? Maybe it's confusion. Where are the other 9? Maybe it's, where are the other 9? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know how Jesus said it, what his spirit was. But the way I've experienced Jesus is that I think it's an invitational question. It's an invitational question. And I think his arms are outstretched. And I think he's saying, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? So it could be an invitation for us this morning, who we have all experienced healing at some level. Where are the other 9? And we're invited back to the source of all good things. We are invited back to the source of all good things, the source of our salvation, and the source of our wholeness. Wholeness was granted in the gratitude and in the throwing of himself at the feet of Jesus. The other 9, you could say, settled for physical deliverance from dis-ease. But this foreigner wanted something more. He was filled with gratitude, and this Samaritan, someone from the margins, praises Jesus rather loudly. It is said that Anne Lamont's favorite 2 prayers in the morning is, "Help me, help me, help me," and in the evening it is, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." So this morning, I just want to just throw this to close here. Just throw this question: what do you give thanks for this morning? And we're going to hold this question. And if you were given a bulletin, there's a little insert in there, and I have some more here. If you raise your hand, Stella, will come and maybe hand you one, but we're going to play a song, and we're just going to take some quiet moments with the song playing, and just really, what is it that you want to express gratitude for? So it should be in your bulletins, and if you don't have one of those, then Stella can hand you, and then there's pens in the pews, and we'll just spend some moments with this.